Chapter 1. West of Manassas, Virginia, USA. The rain just kept coming. In sheets earlier, then in waves. Now it seemed to go in circles, overwhelming the windshield wipers on Rapp's rental car and swirling in his headlights. Behind, Irene Kennedy was piloting her own SUV, tracking him at a distance of only a few feet. The vague glow of his house started to be discernible through his fogged windshield, but it didn't bring much comfort. He'd just told Maggie Nash that her husband was dead. The carefully crafted bullshit about his heroics hadn't done much to obscure the fact that she was now a widow with four fatherless kids. Nor had it softened the look in her eyes, the one that said, "What the hell was my executive husband with a bad back doing in Uganda? Why is he, like so many others, dead while you just keep on breathing?" A fair question that he didn't have the answer for. The modern, vaguely museum-like concept of the house looming ahead had originally been dreamed up by his late wife. Architecturally, cutting edge from the outside while allowing for no compromises security to be integrated from the foundation up. And first completed, it had felt a little like a bunker. Not that he'd had a problem with that. There was nothing like being surrounded by thousands of tons of concrete to make him sleep at night. With the addition of Claudia, though, it had actually started to feel like a home. The smell of cement and fresh paint had been replaced with that of baking bread, flowers, and coconut shampoo. The hum of the state-of-the-art HVAC had been replaced with Anna's breathless storytelling and the banging of pans. Now, as he closed in, it transformed back into a bunker, $8 million worth of dead and empty. The massive gate opened when he hit a button on his key fob, and he kept it depressed to allow Kennedy to tailgate him inside. Additional security lights came on as they pulled up to the front door and jumped out into the rain. A custom-made key got him inside, where he disabled the security system and started a diagnostic. He'd already completed one over his mobile phone, but didn't trust it. Anything connected to the internet could be hacked. The physical system, though, was built into the walls, and subverting it would take more than some clever hackers. It'd take jackhammers. It showed all clear just as Kennedy entered the vestibule. She held her umbrella outside to shake it before closing the door again. It blocked out most of the sound of the storm, leaving him with the drone of the HVAC again. "Gloria gave me a list of things she wants me to bring back to Africa," Rapp said. "Why don't you grab a bottle of wine and then meet me upstairs?" Kennedy nodded silently and started toward the cellar. "Might as well get a good one," he called as he jogged up the stairs. "I doubt I have much time, and I'm not sure I'll ever be back." In fact, he shouldn't have been there at all. But leaving Kennedy to talk to Maggie alone seemed like the coward's way out. He bore a lot of responsibility for her husband's death, and the least he could do was look her in the eye when she got the news. Rapp entered the master bedroom and used his phone to turn on a white noise generator that played over hidden Bluetooth speakers. It would obscure any conversation from hidden microphones that were almost certainly not there. Better safe than sorry. He pulled up the list Claudia had given him and waded into the walk-in closet that he rarely set foot in. The tangle of dresses, shoes, scarves, and God knew what else at first looked random, but upon further examination hinted at some overarching master plan. It still managed to locate precisely none of the things on the list when Kennedy appeared with an open bottle of Bordeaux. "What's the difference between a heel and a wedge?" Rapp asked. She poured a couple of glasses and then motioned him out of the closet, taking his phone as he passed. A quick glance at the list on screen was all she needed to start retrieving things. "What happened, Mitch?"
"Mike was your mole."
She nodded silently. "Can I assume he was working at the direction of the White House?"
"Yeah."
President Anthony Cook was very different from his predecessors. He was autocratic, ruthless, and had no love for the country he ran or the people who inhabited it. In fact, the opposite seemed to be true. He saw every flaw, every weakness, and had an incredible gift for exploiting them. In his mind, the further he could pit the American people against each other, the more he could control them. His only goals appeared to be basking in the adulation of his followers and the accumulation of power. In many ways, his wife was even worse. She was nowhere near as charismatic, but smarter and more calculating. Combined, they were a force to be reckoned with.